For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, with the latest readout video from our free Wednesday Wake Up email newsletter, and another grateful acknowledgement to our viewers, particularly in this case, those in Chile, who've made it number 39 on our list of all-time views by jurisdiction. And I'd avoid silly puns about it being chilly despite global warming, except that one theory, which I learned from Trivial Pursuit, is that the name of the country does come from a Chechua word for cold. Another involves seagulls, so let's stay cool. And then, pedantic flags flying, I quote French Marshal Fernand Foch telling his superior at the 1914 Battle of the Marne that "Mon centre cède, ma droite recule, situation excellente, j'attaque," which means "My centre is crumbling, my right is retreating, situation excellent, I attack." Not because you necessarily want to model your military performances on anything the French have done since the Hundred Years' War, though they did win that Battle of the Marne, but because I'm reminded of it when climate alarmists respond to failure with a bugle and a charge. Specifically, Canary Media just touted a startup, also known as a money pit, that has a plan for the infamously dirty chemical industry, quote, to replace big fossil fuel-reliant machines with smaller electric-powered alternatives and then stack up tons of those cleaner mini-factories to keep production rolling, end quote. Right. Climate change elicits yawns, EVs aren't selling, the bones of glittering startups litter the battlefield. Charge! And that same publication, just one day earlier, had emailed in consecutive paragraphs that, quote, once seen as a potential leader of the EV battery recycling industry, startup LeCycle is now navigating bankruptcy proceedings. Meanwhile, there's a brighter future ahead for green ammonia if Talusog's plans take off, end quote. So, diving back into the trivia barrel, I quote the Spartans' laconic riposte to Philip of Macedon. If. I'm all for cleaning up pollution, I'm all for ingenuity, and I'm all for ingenious ways of cleaning up pollution. But however cool startup sounded 25 years ago, with youthful ill-groomed rebels breaking the old business models, it's technically a small firm that isn't yet making profits. And remember, for every Wright brother, there are 1,000 Icaruses, or Icary, we concede to our old Latin teachers, speaking of pedantry. And for every French victory on the Marne, there's a Second Battle of Champagne, a Nivelle Offensive, or a Waterloo. Still, on the subject of charging recklessly ahead, Matthew Willicke warns that, quote, it's almost summer, let the heatwave hysteria begin, end quote. And on cue, MSN retails a Canadian Press story, quote, get ready for several years of killer heat, top weather forecasters warn, end quote. Yep, the folks who can't see a week ahead are making multi-year forecasts, sunny with a chance of killer. The piece starts, quote, get ready for several years of even more record-breaking heat that pushes Earth to more deadly, fiery, and uncomfortable extremes, two of the world's top weather agencies forecast, end quote. And they're identified as the World Meteorological Organization and the British Met, both of whom did put out press releases, but only one of whom, the WMO, actually released the study. And the rest of the story is also bunk of a tiresome sort, not least because it doesn't contain even a hint of skepticism about the official story. Once upon a time, the average newspaper was a daily skeptic. Nowadays, they read like Pravda. And again, they wonder why people are losing faith in them. In the newsletter, we also do note a triumph of sorts for alarmism. Blacklock's reporter informs us that, quote, more than a third of Canadians are feeling hopeless about climate change, especially young people, says in-house research by the Department of Environment. Canadians over 55 expressed less alarm, end quote. And apparently symptoms of devastating climate change include mental health problems and feelings of isolation. Not, you know, tornadoes or surging seas or a deadly fiery summer. Speaking of which, even journalists actually know that warm weather is nice, as long as the topic isn't climate. The digital editor at the Ottawa Citizen just emailed, quote, I took some days off last week thinking I'd catch a bit of spring. What I got was a cold and soggy stretch suited to museum visits and bookstore browsing, end quote. Thus admitting not only that she wishes it were warm, but that spring in Ontario has not exactly lived up to this hottest year ever billing. Even so, the return of summer, such as it is, makes another kind of climate story utterly predictable. Namely, quote, hot nights and hungry mosquitoes are scary warm world, end quote. Bloomberg Green, but we repeat ourselves, whines, quote, as global warming raises temperatures, those nasty critters are finding more suitable habitats worldwide, allowing them to feed, reproduce, and bite, end quote. To which we retort, quick, Henry, the flit. Because in our halcyon days in Ontario, part of a cool country that stretches to the North Pole, the mosquitoes were a torment beyond compare. On one foolish night camping expedition in the early 1970s without a tent, we had a friend wake up with, we calculated, 700 mosquito bites. Oh, and from the wake us when it reaches your knees department, CNN blares, quote, the world's ice sheets just got a dire prognosis and coastlines are gonna pay the price, end quote. Yep. Apparently we're getting, quote, runaway melting, multiple feet of sea level rise, and catastrophic migration away from coastlines, even if the world pulls off the miraculous and keeps global warming to within 1.5 degrees Celsius, end quote. So again, if it's too late, could you at least stop yelling? Because that's one aspect of climate change that we really could do without. Along with guff like The Independent telling us, quote, scientists warn a 1,000-foot mega tsunami could wipe part of America off the map, end quote. Duh. Just as a giant meteor could annihilate New England or worse, and if Godzilla attacked your city, it would be bad. But the actual article contains 43 references to climate, which does not cause tsunamis, the earthquakes they rode in on, or giant monsters with atomic breath. Meanwhile, in an apparent effort to terminate his own distinguished academic career, Ross McKittrick of the University of Guelph writes for the Macdonald Laurier Institute that Canadian universities in particular could try to reverse the erosion of public trust by worrying about intellectual diversity, not the identity politics kind, and, quote, get serious about institutional political neutrality, end quote. We agree, and we add that a good place to start trying to remedy the monoculture intellectually is on anything climate-related. Oh! And speaking of what even journalists know, provided the subject is not climate, science is never settled. Claims that it is lurk between obtuse and sinister, and new discoveries are cool. Indeed, many outlets were excited, in a good way, to report variants of the Australian Broadcasting Corporation's, quote, astronomers have detected a mystery stellar object that emitted pulses of light for 2 minutes every 44 minutes, the first to emit both radio waves and X-rays. Researchers expect to learn more about these objects as future telescope observations are made, possibly opening up new ways to understand matter and nuclear fusion, end quote. So there you go, exciting new discovery, theories change. But in the wacky world of climate science, where it's settled that one ocean current or another is bound to doom us presently one way or another, Climate Cosmos, via MSN as one of its top stories, tells us, quote, experts warn a forgotten climate pattern might return in 2025. While the precise implications of the changes were not wholly clear, researchers said large numbers of the planet's marine species and ecosystem services could be affected, end quote. So, if it's climate, everything new is old, the science is settled, and doom looms, no matter what discoveries you might dare to make. And it actually does seem that doom looms when you come to the fiscal side of climate change and the resulting panicky policies. For instance, Canary Media warns that, according to polls, people are worried about rising utility bills. Then they add, quote, the findings arrive as the Trump administration's continued attacks on clean energy and its support for coal and other fossil fuels threaten to raise utility bills even higher, according to energy experts, end quote. Experts being a term here meaning advocates, because the evidence points in exactly the opposite direction. As Bjorn Lomborg notes, quote, data shows a strong correlation between more solar and wind and much higher energy prices. In a country with little or no solar or wind, the average electricity cost is around 11 cents per kilowatt hour. For every 10% of solar and wind, the cost increases by more than 4 cents, end quote. And of course, anyone who doubts it can easily find out by betting on alternatives. Or rather, any government can by betting their constituents' money and futures on them. Then there's this weird devotion by climate alarmists to big government, so they're not following the economics either. We do understand, both from experience and in principle, that if people disagree with us on a big thing, for instance, the existence of a man-made urgent climate crisis, then they will necessarily disagree with us on many smaller things that are logically related to the big one. But we remain baffled at how predictable some of the disagreements are on matters totally unrelated to climate. For instance, in an emailed heat map newsletter, Jeeva Lang professes herself haunted by a claim from, quote, Daniel Farber, the director of the Center for Law, Energy, and the Environment at the University of California, Berkeley, end quote, that Donald Trump had shrunk the American federal bureaucracy and that, quote, even after we go back to a Democratic president, you can't wave a wand and get all those people back, end quote. Why would you want to? And why would an environmentalist in particular dream of a bigger, more rigid bureaucracy? What on earth is organic, natural, and reminiscent of the complex harmony of nature about the swollen, callous, unresponsive state of the early 21st century, to the point that there seems to be little or no debate among Greens about the need for much red? And then there's the question of actually following the science if you're going to make a big self-congratulatory fuss about that practice. And so, in the next installment of our Look It Up series, we consider changes in U.S. flooding. We in Canada, and Americans, have somehow survived another spring flood season with our foundations intact. But we were inundated with a roaring surge of claims about how climate change was making floods bigger and more frequent. Except where they're becoming smaller and less frequent. As, for instance, in the United States. And how do we know? Because there is data, and you can look it up, in this case on the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency website. Flood magnitude and frequency went up from 1965 to 2015 at many locations in the Northeast, but they went down over most of the rest of the United States, and the overall average was down on both measures. First, magnitude of floods. On this map, the blue arrows, which means increasing, are clustered in the Northeast, the Pacific Northwest, and a few Midwest areas. But everywhere else it's down, and so is the overall average. And then, on frequency of floods, the arrows mean the same thing, and the map looks the same. If you did have an actual flood, we sympathize. They're nasty. But if it was just words, go look it up. So, that's surging water. What about surging air? At the time of writing of the newsletter, Roger Pilkey Jr. had pointed out that there'd been no tropical cyclones anywhere in the Northern Hemisphere so far in 2025, and he said if we reached June the 5th without one, it would be the quietest start to hurricane season since 1970. And at time of filming, we can say yes, we did, and it was. Now, as we said in the newsletter, that kind of thing doesn't teach us anything about climate change, or even what will happen for the rest of the hurricane season. But it does underline the double standard in weather reporting. Give us an unusually active season, or even just predictions of an unusually active season, and the usual suspects pounce on it as proof of a climate crisis. Even though there's plenty of data that show that hurricane activity refuses to follow their script going back to 1900. Mind you, you can manufacture a trend by starting your graph at 1970 if that's the kind of thing you'd like to do instead of staring out the window hating the lack of cyclones. And for the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and I know an if from a then.